paradise. What comes to your mind when you hear the word paradise? Think about laying on the beach somewhere? I don't know. What's paradise for you? Verse 42 from our reading today, then he, one of the criminals executed beside Jesus, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. I want us to think about this a little more deeply perhaps today, this reading from our scriptures. Jesus says today, not sometime in the future or not when I return to earth, today. I find that interesting. I don't know about you. You know, there's much confusion in our world about death and life after death and what happens after we die. No, the scriptures don't tell us that we become angels. We don't. It doesn't seem like we float around on the clouds playing harps, like some maybe shows and so forth might tell us. No. It says that we go and are with Jesus in his presence. Remember Stephen, the first Christian martyr? He wrote, or he said, recorded in Acts, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In Philippians 1:23, the Apostle Paul states, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary that I remain in the body. Paul's clearly talking about his death here, and he's actually looking forward to it, desiring to go and be with Jesus, but said, no, I've got work to do here yet, apparently. Then Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Paradise sounds like, according to these readings, being in the presence of Jesus. It seems that at the moment of death, our spirits, our souls, are with the Lord. Notice that it's those who have a relationship with Jesus, those who have faith in him and trust him. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. It's a relationship that they had their entire life or their time walk in the earth. It's interesting for us to think about what happens after death. So the scriptures tell us that we go and are with the Lord, but tell us more. It's confusing. Lord, help us. John 5:28-29, don't be so surprised. This is Jesus talking. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. There will be judgment. God is just and holy. And I think for us that's good news. We see the news and we see the problems in the world and all of the troubles, and people who have no faith, they just kind of wring their hands, and it's as if, oh well, we'll continue on. But the good news is that God is just, and he will judge. He will set things right. In fact, he has begun that restoration already through Jesus. He's a God of justice. Here's the words from Revelation 21. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, all liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So let's pause and think about what we've heard so far. Jesus said that followers of him, those who have a relationship with him, who love and trust him, immediately when they die, they're with him in his presence. It's paradise. And I think we stop there then and think, okay, that's it. But no, there's a time of judgment. And according to this, a second death. It's pretty clear that there is life after. Paradise after. Life after death. Of course, we don't get enough information, I don't think, to satisfy our intellect. But we get enough through the relationship with Jesus. We trust that we will be with him in paradise, which becomes a new creation when he returns. We don't float around on clouds playing the harp. It's not a plan B. This is the way God designed it. So think about that new creation. What's coming after this time with Jesus, this immediately following death? We know comes new creation. Romans 8, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. He's making everything new. And it began with Jesus, the first fruits. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that famous chapter where Paul describes the resurrection. And he writes these words. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone died because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's amazing. Paul is anticipating the questions that follow. So Paul writes this. Well, someone might ask, well, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? Great question. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. That's the good news. So there will be a time when we are simply spirit. And I don't know how to explain it. The scriptures don't tell us. But there will be a time when we get new bodies, when we will live in God's presence, walking the new creation, serving the Lord. Revelation 21 gives us a picture. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new creation. Think about that picture you might have gotten in your mind when I first asked, what do you picture when you hear the word paradise? It seems to me that it's in the presence of God, and beyond that we don't need any more. This God of love who is seeking after each one of us, pursuing us with his love, wanting a relationship with us, restoring what was broken in the fall. Listen to his heart, Jeremiah 31. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 37:23, they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them, listen to this, and they will be my people and I will be their God. Later in chapter 37 rather of Ezekiel, my dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Zechariah 8, and I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of my presence. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness, living in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 21, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Is that how you think about paradise? Sadly, I think most of us, I won't say that, many people, I think, look at heaven, being in the presence of the Lord, as Plan B, better than the alternative perhaps. But that's not what we're getting here. Paradise in the presence of Almighty God. That's paradise. So as we think about our reading today from Luke 23, what's the so what? What can we take away from that? Think about the message for us today. Let's go back to that first criminal. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Can you hear his heart demanding? It's all about me. God, do this. We hear that in the world too. There's not enough evidence, Lord. You've not shown me enough. Do this and then. But listen to the second criminal. The other criminal rebuked him and said, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. When we get a picture of who Jesus is and realize who we are in relation to him, the only thing we can do is bow down and worship and say, thank you. Remember me, Lord. Our demands go away. He humbled himself before the Lord. Who do you know who needs to hear this message? The message of Jesus, the message of this God of love. Come to me. Put your faith in me. Humble yourselves before me. He's there calling and waiting. Jesus said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.